Picks up. Microphone on that camera.
Ain't too bad.
No, it picks up pretty good.
Yeah.
Face recognition.
That's the camera doing all that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because phone don't do all that.
No. No.
Plus
this is a microphone, so it will pick up us up here as a microphone and send it straight to YouTube. It's in stereo. So, yeah.
Kind of scary a little bit, but.
Yeah.
I've not used all that.
It's pretty easy. I like it. He woke up with that, Sister Jolene. We think it was the cast. He woke up with that. We think it was the cast. Because you never know how that arm gets turned in the middle of the night.
Yeah, imagine he's a little bit of rambunctious.
We are so ready for that thing to come on. I don't know which one's going to be more pleased, us or him. You can move. I guarantee you, you'll break that glass trying to pull it off. Yeah. Yeah.
What's the first one?
Page 30.
30.
Nothing but the blood.
Probably want to turn the fans on auto or off auto to just on to circulate the air over there. Air over back there.
Thank you.
even know what time it is.
Yeah, it's 11.
Oh, wait, real James is up here.
And left a strong orange drink. Apple juice, orange juice, whatever.
All right, well, good morning to everybody. It's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to see our visitors and all our home folk. Let's start on page 30. Nothing but the blood. The ones can, please stand. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other mouth I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that white as snow, no other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other mouth I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other mouth I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Brother Richard, do you mind up with some prayer this morning? Amen. Now, maybe see this. All right, 343, revive us again.
343. Yeah. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Abba, for Jesus who died and is now all above. Hallelujah, then the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, then the glory, revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for the Spirit of Savior and better. and the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let the glory revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, to mourn our sins and his sins every stain. Hallelujah, thine alone. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill his heart with thy love. His soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen.
Amen and amen. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Appreciate everyone coming today. Some of you may notice we've got a clear aisle. Amen. And you say, preacher, how well is it working? I don't know. This is the first actual service with it. Of course, it's attached over here to the window. We'll get it kind of moved around to find out what's going to work the best. Might be sitting by you. And I will tell you, there's a microphone on it. Amen. Pick up everything that you say. In fact, it can pick up across the room very well. I've got it turned down most of the way. Yeah, it probably is. It's on face recognition, and so when you're standing, it probably does zoom in. It's on. Well, I can't move it yet. Just stay seated. Amen. Amen. You got your YouTube service up? It should have it to where we can chat live. Some of this is new. We do have internet here at the church. Say, preacher, I want that. Tough. It's for the services, all right? And I don't want anyone plugging it up. Amen. And so we'll have that, and we are running. So YouTube is up. Go ahead and promote it. You say, preacher, are we able to go live? Well, we are, but wouldn't you know that YouTube on December of last year decided that kind of a phone or a kind of a camera, they consider it to be live straight through a phone. And so you got to have 1,000 subscribers. However, where there's a will, there's a way. And so I've got it kind of looped from here to the computer and back around to where we can just go live right off the bat. But, you want to talk about a whole lot of learning. I think I spent probably 4 or 5 hours up here on Friday. I was back up here about 3 hours last night trying to figure out how to get that thing to work. Then I've got different microphones. I've got a microphone on there. I've got a microphone on here. And what's going to work best? And then lighting. And then you've got all these other issues. And then it zooms in on your wife that's on the second pew. Amen. And
we better cut. Me and Jacob better watch it. We'll have that thing in our mouth when we walk through there.
I'm
just kidding. Yeah. I thought we walked by you.
Yeah, I put it at eye level, brother. So you'll have to jump. It's kind of like the fish out of the water, you know. And you'll break that glass now because that suction cup, it's holding on there. Amen.
Jacob, break it in for me.
So if you hear a noise, it's because they thumped themselves in the head walking through. Amen. And so we are on. We got 158 subscribers still on YouTube. Continue to promote it. I would love to get the 1,000 subscribers to where I wouldn't have to do all of the dancing around to get it where it's supposed to be. But I am thankful that God gives us the ability to do it. And this is kind of new, so those that are tuning in on YouTube, bear with me as I get it situated to where it's going to need to be. More than likely, I'll probably move it to one of these pews right here. It will be better face recognition, plus microphone-wise. And so we'll just have to play with it, get everything to work. Also, Sunday school starts next Sunday. Say, preacher, what time's that? It's not 11. Amen. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, we'll be here for Sunday school and ready to go. Listen, I'm excited. It's been over a year since we've been in Sunday school. I'm ready to get going again. And you say, preacher, what about the bus? Not yet. We've got to get everything back up and going. And with that, I want you to understand, just because we're getting things started back up doesn't mean we're throwing care to the wind. All right? Be wise. I'm still trying to maintain social distance, still trying to maintain where all we go and direct that. If you don't need to be up somewhere, and by the way, talking is not needing to be up somewhere. All right, if you just want to go over and do and hang out,
hang out outside. Don't hang out in here. I'm trying to locate. And so your little area that you got should be safe for you to be there. Amen. That's kind of my desire, is to keep us in church. It makes sense. Amen. And so Silas agrees. I got an amen out of him. All right. And so we'll just take it. And so continue to remember that, you know, don't just be up walking around. You need to go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom. Come back and come back to your pew, and we'll get all that going. I'm excited to see Sunday school start back up. And so do pray about it, but also come participate in it. Amen. 10 o'clock next Sunday, we'll be back in Sunday school. Amen. I think that's all the announcements I have. Brother James, you got a song for us?
Yes, sir.
We're coming back.
That was
amen, brother.
Page number 124. Those that have the choir books. Our choir. On the battlefield for the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you what, it's a battlefield here lately. A real battlefield. We're in a fight. Got to stand up and be counted, though. The trumpet's been blowing for a while. Well, I was alone and idle, and I was a sinner, too. I heard a voice from heaven saying there is work to do. I took the Master's hand. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Friends and kindred, bound for the promised land. Grace of God upon me, Bible in my hand. This is land I trod, Christ sinner come to God. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. When I met my Savior, met him with a smile. Healed my wounded spirit, on me as his child. Around the throne of grace, on my soul a place. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Fighting for my Savior, battle is postponed. Trumpet has been sounding, coming of his son. I'll lay my armor down, and I'll take up my Reuben crown, and I'll walk the golden street with my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes.
All right, the ones can stand, please stand and turn to page 41, Sweet By and By. Page 41. If there's a land that is fairer than
faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare a dwelling place there. And asleep and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To the sweet and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore. Some lovely songs of bliss, and our spirits shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessings of rest in the sweet. By and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. In the sea, by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise. For the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So, you may be seated. Amen. Well, working on this, trying to get everything around. Brother Russell didn't want to hit his head either. Amen. I don't know. They just... Amen. I'm just trying to keep them on their toes. Amen. Complacent Christianity. That's what I'm going to. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right.
I'll fix it to give the real test.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sat it when I walked in. I haven't drank enough.
And we already discussed that Wednesday. We already discussed that, brother. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. I'm going to cut off the Mevo. I'm just going to run this through my phone, and so see if they respond back. If it's better now. Okay. Well, it might be because I turned the app on, or I reactivated my phone, so it's not constantly going. So that might be the problem. It might go low when I have it asleep. So we'll see. Should just be picking up my phone right now and see what it runs. And I apologize. I'm not trying to take away from the sensitivity of the message, but in the same sense, it's kind of like fine-tuning everything. It takes a little bit of time trying to get everything right. And I thought Brother Steve and Sister Ashley were just playing hooky. Okay, how about now? It's going to have a delay, so they'll probably hear it. I just turned this back on, and they should be picking it up. And that'll make it to where my phone, unless it's live, will not be here. Okay. Am I too loud? We thought they were just playing hooky, because, I mean, they I think they went to the zoo. Wasn't Brother Stephen having a family reunion at the zoo, something like that? Amen? I'm joking. That's how well... Amen. Yeah. Something about a new birth. They just had a gorilla that was born there, and that's the first gorilla born there in 15 years, something like that. And Brother Stephen wanted to make sure, you know, see how he looked. I don't know. I don't know if he meant how he looked or how the gorilla... I don't know. Amen. But Sister Duke had also... Let me change subject here before he doesn't come back at all. They might put him in a pen. Sister Duke said that they did have a family reunion, and it wasn't at the zoo, but there's a lot of hot dog buns and hamburger buns out there. If anyone would like some, you're welcome to them. And anyway, did they get that? Amen. Well, take your Bibles, Isaiah chapter number 55. Isaiah 55, passage of Scripture that we enjoy very well. And we like to use it. Sometimes I'm afraid that we use it in vain or we use it out of context. But if God had helped me today, I'd like to preach a message out of Isaiah 55. And with that in mind, it just how the Lord works and maybe shine some light on a subject or a passage of Scripture that we kind of overlook a little bit. And use it, we're familiar with it, but yet I don't know if we know all of the meaning of it. So if God would help me today, we've really taken for granted how precious it is to have the Word of God. And verse number 11, and just kind of for introduction as we get here, we like to use it in the fact that God's Word will not come back void, but what does that really mean to us? What does that really mean? We look at it and we see, and this morning we're going to look at the sower and the seed for the sower. But may I tell you, it's more than just the fact that we have the Word of God and we can distribute it. I think about tract ministries, and listen, they're great. I'm thankful for gospel tracts. There are some folks that don't even know what a gospel tract is. And one thing that should shame us is the fact that we've had all of this time in the so-called Bible Belt, and you know, I cannot remember a time where someone's came up and given me a tract. That's amazing. I mean, if there's all these people that are saved, why aren't more given out a tract? Amen. Isaiah 55, when you get there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Isaiah 55, verse number 6. Isaiah chapter number 55, verse number 6 is where we'll start. We'll look at the rest of this chapter. And so bear with me, we'll see what the Lord has through it and see how this all works. Isaiah 55, verse number 6, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, and He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater." Look at verse 11. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains shall and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Father, I think about this very last verse in that everlasting covenant. And Lord, how thankful I am, how grateful I am that You love me. And Lord, that You gave me a covenant that I can't break, Lord, because it's not based upon me, but it's based upon Your truth and Your Word. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. And then, Lord, as I look and I think about the many that need to seek You while You may be found. And Lord, I understand there's coming a time that it's going to be too late. And Lord, I think of all those that I've witnessed to. And Lord, there's many that would tell me that they're not ready. They're not ready to come to that place. They acknowledge their need, but they just want to wait. And Lord, I know the danger of that. And so, Lord, I pray You'd help us tonight as a child of God, that we'd have a great burden. And Lord, as we would look at the power that Your Word has,
Lord, the promises that we find in it, and Lord, that You would just encourage us through it. And Father, that we would take it and use it to Your glory and to Your honor. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We look here at this passage of Scripture, and as I had mentioned before, so often it's used out of context. In verse number 6 here, I find that there is coming a time. It's just like I had said in the prayer, there's coming a time where it's going to be too late. You need to seek while you can seek. And so if you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I think I'm saved," or I think I've called upon Him," I'm not talking about praying a prayer. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm not talking about running through the baptismal pool. I'm talking about knowing that your salvation is secure, and the only place that it can be secure is in Jesus Christ. And so there needs to be that time. And He says, "Seek while you may seek." Because there's coming a time where you're not going to be able to seek anymore. May I be honest with you that there's many that think that they're going to wait until later in life, and later in life never comes. There's many that think that they can come on their own time and their own terms, and that's not how salvation works. You must be drawn by the Spirit. And we find here in verse number 6 that God's dealing with him. He says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found." That tells me there's going to be a time where you're going to wait too long. I find in verse number 7 that God offers a full pardon. Well, why should we seek? Because it's the only way for a full pardon. Now hold on a second. I'm talking about complete. I mean, all the way. Pardon means that it's no longer on you. In fact, it's no longer even associated with you. You can't attach the two anymore. And so I look here and I just think about this full pardon. In verse number 7, he says that the unrighteous need to turn from their wicked thoughts. Hold on. May I tell you that this can even be the thoughts of the saved that are unrighteous thoughts. You say, "Preacher, I thought that this was just speaking about..." No, I want to explain to you how good our God is. There's not a single one in here that doesn't have some times where some thoughts begin to corrupt you. Some anger issues, amen. Some go ahead and drive down 16 or 95. Amen. There's going to be someone doing something silly, and it's going to get under your skin, especially when they get a little close to you. You're going to have some unrighteous thoughts. Aren't you glad? Now, I know most of the time we don't bring those back to the Lord, but we need to. Amen. The Bible tells us to gird up the loins of our mind, that we need to get that back into subjection. Amen. And bring it back to the place where God can deal with it. And He says, "Boy, we need to turn from our wicked thoughts." He's talking about the lost there as well. He's speaking about those wicked. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord." Now, why in the world would God say that they could return? May I tell you, first of all, the lost have never been there, but the lost were originally, listen, Adam and Eve were created for fellowship with God. Amen. And it's because of our father Adam that we've had that separation. And God says, "I want you to come back to where I originally designed for it to be." But then I think about the child of God, and there's some times where we lose that fellowship with Him because of our wicked ways. And you say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I don't have wicked ways." I beg to differ. I find many that tell me that they're saved, and there's some wicked ways within them. Amen. I'm not trying to be ugly. But I look here, and I find that God offers a full pardon. Listen, that's a good thing. "I will abundantly pardon." But then He goes on in verses 8 and 9, and He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as heaven is higher than the earth, my thoughts are higher and my ways are higher." Now, I bring us to this because I want you to understand that in verse number 7, you know God's way is to pardon and to give mercy. You know our way is to crucify. Amen. And so He says, "My ways aren't your ways." Why did He say that? Because you wouldn't have given a pardon. Amen. If what was done to you, or what was done to God was done to you, may I tell you, you wouldn't forgive anyone. Amen. That's just how we work. And boy, we can get the simplest of offense, and we can take that, and we can run with that, and we will just let that build up into seed of bitterness, and we'll never forgive anyone. And God says, "Look, my ways aren't your ways." And boy, I'm thankful for that. Amen. There's not a single person, listen,
I know you say, our preacher's nice, and boy, he cares. Lizzie would even say, our preacher's nice, and he cares. She was all worried on Wednesday. We were running late Wednesday night, and she was just so worried. Preacher wasn't here yet, and boy, he's always here, and boy, he just wasn't here yet. But I'm telling you, there's not a single person that would want me to be God. Because there's some times I'd pinch some heads. Amen. Boy, I'd just pinch them down. And may I tell you, you'd do the same thing. And God says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. You know, the only thing He has for us, or the only thoughts He has for us, is good thoughts. Amen. Amen. And I know that, boy, we definitely downplayed it with saying that they're good thoughts, but they're really great thoughts. Amen. I don't know. One of these days I might have a Tony the Tiger year motto, and we'll just be able to say, it's great. Amen. I don't know. But, you know, I'm thankful that He's more than good. He's God. And He says that my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts, because they're going to be much higher than what ours are. We can't even comprehend how good God really is. And so I look at this and I find in verse number 10 and verse number 11 that God provides us His Word. And I really want us to focus on these two today. And this is really the direction that I have, or that God's given me. And He's talking about in verse number 10. Now, I want you to see this. He says, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. And He says, in verse number 10 is a picture of what the Word of God is. Because in verse number 11, he says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. He's talking about this picture that He's given us in verse number 10, how it's the rain that cometh down, and God sent it down. And by the way, you know, we've had an abundance of rain for a while, and boy, we've enjoyed it. But, you know, I noticed this last week, it was supposed to rain a couple of times. And I think Thursday, I was talking with Jacob, we got a 12-inch rain Thursday. Anyone get the 12-inch rain? I said, preacher, where in the world did it rain 12 inches? It rained 12 inches here in Pembroke. And all the drops were 12 inches apart. Amen. And it only rained a few of them, but they were all 12 inches apart. We got a 12-inch rain. And, you know, we were supposed to get like a quarter of an inch, something like that. And now, here's the funny thing about the weather predictions, because you can go on any weather app, and it's going to tell you how many inches or how much accumulation you're supposed to have. But I have not figured out if that's per hour or if that's the entire day, because they might say a quarter of an inch. And yet I find here that, you know, one day it means that I'm getting it all day long at a quarter inch an hour. And some days you get the entire day, you get that quarter inch. So, I mean, they don't know, but, you know, none of us know when it's going to rain. Amen. None of us can even make it rain. He says, as the rain cometh down, where does it come down from? Heaven. Amen. And may I remind you where the Word of God originated? Oh yeah, heaven. And you know where it's still secure today? Heaven. It really doesn't matter. Now listen to me. You know that I am a King James only Bible believer. I don't believe in any of the other perverted texts. I don't use any. I've heard of preachers that will tell you that they're King James only, which means, or what they mean, is that they only preach from the King James, but they use all these others to study from. And may I tell you, why in the world would I want to study from a perverted text so that I can preach to you out of a pure text? I don't know. I don't have to answer for them. Amen? But I do find that what God's desire is for us to take His Word that He's given us and then to use it. And He's given it to us for a reason. He said, look, I've given it to you. It doesn't come back up to me. It's out for us to use. And He says, I've given seed to the sower and bread to the eater. I like that. Amen. I've given seed to the sower, and I've given bread to the eater. Now, I'm going to show us tonight, guess what tonight's message is going to be on? This morning, we're going to look at the seed for the sower. So guess what tonight's going to... All right, now, come on, y'all. We're looking at bread for the eater tonight. Amen. And listen, I'm thankful that both of those can be applied. And may I tell you, even though I'm a sower, He's given me the seed for me to use. And before the sower can ever go out and sow that seed, the sower's got to have that seed himself. Yeah. Amen. And so I look at this passage of Scripture and I just began to think about it and meditate about it and pray about it. And I've actually been chewing on it for several weeks. I was going to preach this last week and God had changed my direction. And so He gave it to me this week to preach. And I pray that it will be a blessing to you when we understand how great the Word is. God provides everything we need in His Word. I think about the Word. And some of you are saying, well, preacher, I mean, I have the Word right here. Well, I'm thinking about the Word before that. You see, the Bible tells us in John chapter number 1 and verse number 1 that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. And then it goes on in verse number 14 of John 1. And He says that, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so I look here and I think of what God's done. He's given us an all-in-one tool. Now, I know you're saying, preacher, is there such a thing? Now, I was going to bring a crescent wrench, but I was afraid someone would get hurt. Amen. And, you know, it's pretty good. We used to call it an all-sixteenths. Anyone ever have an all-sixteenths? And you could adjust that out to where it would fit anything that you needed it to fit. And, you know, someone would say, I think that's metric. Well, let me go get my metric one. Amen. And, boy, you'd get that. I know some of you are looking at me like, preacher, what in the world? Okay, metric sizes are different than standard sizes, all right? And there are some that line up. You can use the 13. It's close to a half. It's not exactly right. There might be like a thousandth off, but it'll work. You can use a 17. It's the same as an 11/16. And I know you're all looking at me like, all right, preacher, that's too much geek for me. But just bear with me for a minute. You take this crescent wrench, and it didn't matter if it was metric, it didn't matter if it was standard, and you could take it, and you could use it on either one of them. But now, let's say if you needed to drive a nail. You say, preacher, could you use that crescent wrench to drive a nail? Absolutely. You close that thing up to where it's more like a hammerhead, and you can go to town. Boy, you're driving that nail. Now, you say, preacher, what happens when you drive that nail? Can you take that nail out? Well, if you're good and the nail didn't go all the way in, yes, you can take it out. But it does no good for sawing that board. Amen. Now, I could hack it to death. It'd probably kill me trying to do it, but I could hack it to death, especially depending if it was a 4x4 or a 6x6. You know how long you'd take there and whack on that thing before you'd ever get it hacked up? But you could do it because the backside, you know, it's got the spot for the groove to stick out and that pin comes through. And when you have it all the way closed, it could kind of be like a little tooth to eat some 6x6 away. But you know what God's given? A precision tool that works for every situation in everything that we have come up in life. Amen. He gave seed to the sower. Notice, if you would, we look at this. The first area that we find here is the promise of the seed. The promise of the seed. I look here at the provision for it. He promises the provision of it, did He not? He said that it came down from heaven there in verse number 10. He's speaking about the rain, but He confirms that in verse number 11. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. May I tell you, it's not our word. He's provided all of it. I'm thankful. I've had people get so mad at me. Boy, they'll just get all kinds of frustrated and say, preacher, you're so narrow-minded. Preacher, you don't bend at all. Praise God, I don't have to because I'm not standing on what I want. I'm not standing on what I've concocted. But praise God, I'm standing on the Word of God that He's provided. And so as I look here at the provision, it was established from God. Amen. I'm reminded of Psalm 119 and verse number 89. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. I like that. You say, preacher, what's so important about that? Well, it's settled. Man might question it, but may I tell you, with God, it's settled. Amen. It's done. It's a done deal. He's already established. This is what it is. This is my word, and it's the right word. Oh, man might try to pervert it. Man might try to remove it. Man might try to change it. But praise God, it's settled in heaven. Now, I want you to hold your place in the book of Isaiah 55. And I want you to look, if you would, over at the book of Second Daniel. I was flipping here through Daniel. If you find a Second Daniel, you have one of those perverted texts. Amen. Turn over to Second Peter chapter number 1. Second Peter chapter number 1. I got several places I want us to turn today. And so bear with me because I want you to see them. I remember a man that I used to work with. And one of the things, I would get so frustrated at him. Because we'd start talking about the Bible, and he would always bring up things about the Bible. And he believed that the Bible, well, part of it was from God and part of it was from man. You say, preacher, well, what's wrong with that? It puts man in authority to decide which part's from God and which part's from man. There's a big problem in it. It's either all from God or who cares if any of it's from God. Amen. Because if you get to pick and choose, that means if something I don't like, well, that's not from God. That's from man, and man's decided this, and so I don't have to follow that. And boy, he just had this idea in his head that, well, part of it was from God and part of it was from man, and couldn't really decide what was from man and what was from God. And the parts he liked was from God. Amen. He's going to bless me. He's going to care for me. He's never going to forsake me. But the judgment against sin was from man. Amen. It doesn't match. It doesn't work. And so I look here at 2 Peter chapter number 1. He says in verse number 15, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after the decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice, which came from heaven," notice that, amen, came from, where'd the word come from? Oh yeah, it came from heaven. "It came from heaven, and we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." He's referring back to John 1:14, that we beheld His glory. He's speaking about when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they seen here the Him in His glorified body, and they said, "Look, Peter's recalling this." That's what he's bringing up. That's what he's talking about. He said, "When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory." Amen. He said, "We heard it at that holy mount." Look at verse 19. "We have also a more sure witness, a sure word of prophecy. Wherefore ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." And you say, "Preacher, what does that really mean? That it doesn't just say it once?" Amen. Listen to me. The Bible speaks about the Bible, within itself. Amen. And there's folks out there, and listen, I don't mean to beat up commentators and commentary too much, but may I tell you that they like to tell you what they've come up with, what they've figured out. But you know how God says that we're to do it? In 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly dividing the word of truth. Why? Because I can go to this passage of Scripture, and it proves this passage of Scripture, and it proves this passage of Scripture, and it proves this passage of Scripture, and on and on and on, and the Scripture never lies against itself. I showed you last week that some people think that there's a contradiction on Arana and on Orna. They're the same person. One's just the proper name. We say that some would even say that there's a contradiction in the fact that in First Chronicles chapter 21, it talks about the shekels of gold that he received. And in 2 Samuel 24, it talks about the silver that he received. And you say, "Well, preacher, I mean, obviously that's a contradiction." No, it was for two different items. Yeah. Amen. The problem is that the Bible has no problem. It's us. And so I like this as well. Look at verse number 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Aren't you glad God provided His Word for us? There's a promise of the seed. And so then I find as well in this promise, I find that not only are we promised to have it provided, but we're promised that with it brings prosperity. I think about old Joshua. I think about old Joshua. In Joshua chapter number 1, God's speaking to Joshua and He tells him that you're going to be prosperous in anything that you do as long as My Word never depart out of your mouth. Boy, you're just going to keep this. You're going to chew this. You're going to enjoy this. You know why? God's Word produces prosperity in anyone's life. Listen to me. Even lost businessmen that will apply the godly principles that are found in the Word of God will find success in their business. You say, why is that? Because God promised prosperity off of the truth of His Word. Amen. Hey, you're going to be prosperous if you don't cheat people in your business. You know, you'd think that's common sense. It's not. Amen. It's just the truth that God promises. And so we look at this prosperity here. But I find as well, look back over at verse number 11 of our text. Part of the problem that we have, and God promises it to have prosperity here because we find it in the actual verse. He says, so shall My Word, in verse number 11, be that goeth forth out of My mouth. It shall not return unto Me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper. What's that prosperity? In the thing whereto I sent it. I want you to understand that the Word of God will be opened at the judgment seat, the great white throne of judgment. Moses and the prophets and the entire Word of God will be there against. Amen. You say, preacher, but it says that it will not come back void. May I tell you, it has all the power that it's always had. Amen. And it still is prosperous when men choose to refuse it. Amen. It's still bringing prosperity. I look here in our life as a child of God. I like verse number 12. You want to talk about prosperity? Do you think that we live in doom and gloom days? Oh, I think so. Media encourages depression. Media wants you to be depressed about everything that's going on. I just caught a couple of blurbs. I don't really watch the media. I do have a guy that I watch that kind of cuts out some of the garbage that I don't want to filter through, and he'll just kind of give me some highlights. I like that, amen? And not that I'm paying him for it. He does it for free. I think YouTube pays him. But anyway, he does a great job with it. I just kind of get some bits and pieces, and that's enough for me, amen? And he was talking about Bernie Sanders and Bernie Sanders wanting to do this and wanting to do that and promise this and turn us over to socialists. And I mean, that's really what it is, because when the government promises you everything financially and takes care of you and gives you more aid, guess what that is? It's called socialism. Guess what the next step is after socialism? Communism. Amen. And so we look at all of these things that's going on, and boy, I guarantee you the mainstream media has picked it up. And boy, those that know what this means are going, oh, this is not good. Those that don't know are going, oh, that sounds so good. I remember a man that I worked with that had gotten in trouble because he had posted this little, well, it was a piece of paper that had a joke on it. And the joke was about the teacher in school. And she had offered the children free ice cream. And boy, all the kids in school wanted free ice cream in her class. Boy, we all want free ice cream. And she said, all right, now hold on. In order for it to be free for you, we're going to have to get someone to pay for it. Because there's no such thing as free ice cream, folks. Amen. And it was very, very good. I mean, it really does put it into perspective. Because it might be free from you, but may I tell you, someone's paying for it. May I remind you how much money our government makes? Zero. It's the taxpayers that pay it. Hello? And so, as we think of this idea, we live in a doom and gloom society. Who's paying for it? Oh, great. How am I going to do this? And how's this going to happen? And what's going to happen next? And what's the government going to... Oh, by the way, they already know that they can stop us from having service.
Call it a pandemic. Amen. And then not to mention all those that were in fear. That said, all right, I'm going to isolate and I'm going to shut down. Boy, I love Brother Ron Young. I love him to death. And it's amazing. Now, I'm not faulting them. You do what you think you need to do. And they, boy, they isolated themselves. They shut everything off. And you know what got in? COVID. You know what he said? Praise the Lord. If I can get it shut into the house, I'll just go and serve him. Amen. They just went on the road and said, all right, we got it. Let's go. Now, they were better by the time they started going. Amen. But some of you are looking at me like, preacher, he was contaminating everything. No. But listen, society wants us to be doom and gloom. Satan wants us to be doom and gloom. But look at what God says, because we have His Word. I'm talking about seed for the sow. I'm talking about that, hey, before I can go out and sow the seed, it needs to be prosperous in my life. Well, what's He say it's going to happen? Look at verse number 12. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now I realize that if the children of Israel didn't rejoice in the Lord, if they didn't praise Him, that the rocks would have cried out. But may I tell you, I can claim this verse in the fact that I can go out in joy. I can be led in peace. Now, I don't know how many have ever seen Zippity Doodah. Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, where the bluebird, you know the song where the bluebirds are singing? Now, I realize that every morning that you wake up, Jacob, the bluebirds aren't singing for you. But you know, as a child of God, I can be prosperous to where the bluebirds might not be singing, but the mountains are. Amen. Hey, I don't care what's going on in this world. The mountains, did you hear that? The hallelujah chorus is in choir today. Woo! I don't have anything to worry about. Why? Because God's promised me His Word, and it's prosperous in my life. And so I look here as well. I find the potential of the seed. Notice this. We look at the potential of the seed is the ability to produce life. If I was to bring, and I usually always have some seed at the house, and if I was to bring even a broccoli seed, broccoli seeds are pretty small. Amen. And they're a tiny little seed. It's not as small as a grain of mustard seed, but it's pretty close. And that little seed seems dead, seems worthless, seems nothing in it. But you know, when you put it in some soil and have that soil to seed contact, and you put some moisture on there, put some water on there, and give it some sunlight, you know what's going to come out of that? Well, it's not a turnip. It's going to be broccoli. Amen. You know, that's what's so important about the Word of God. It's the only seed that's able to produce life. There's many, many times that we find ourselves guilty of trying to produce reform. God's not interested in reform. He's interested in life. He wants us to have a new birth, not a cleaned up old life. Amen. I know you say, preacher, don't you believe in a changed life? Oh, absolutely. But if you don't have a birth first, it does no good to clean up the old. Amen. In fact, the Bible says the old needs to die so that the new can be born. Amen. And I look here and I find, you say, preacher, how do you know that? It's God's desire. It's to produce life. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, that He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God desires for all to be saved. You say, how is He going to do that? Romans 10 and verse number 17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The seed. Amen. Just that good old seed of the Word of God. And so I look here at the potential. It's got the potential in the ability to produce life. But then I find as well, it's the anticipation of another harvest. Now, hold on. Who did He give the seed to? The sower. Brother James, I'm going to just go out on a limb here. And Brother Scooter, I know both of you garden. And I'm just going to go out on this limb and say that you do it because you don't like it. It's miserable to you. You don't enjoy being outside. You don't want to work with it. You don't enjoy the harvest of it. I mean, it's just a horrible thing. And I know that Sister Woody and Sister Edra make you all do it. Amen? And they say, you're going to... That's right. Amen. Let me turn that camera just a little bit so we can get this on video. Amen. And we've got this idea that it's an awful thing. May I tell you, one of the greatest joys you'll ever have is leading someone to the Lord. Why did He give seed to the sower? Woo! I'm anticipating another harvest. Amen. I've sown so that I can see it grow, so that I can see God work. And yeah, I'm not the one that saved them, but praise God, He let me be a part of it. And there's some anticipation there. There's some joy in it. You want to talk about some zip in your step? You want to talk about the mountain start singing? You let someone get saved because the seed was given to the sower and he had broadcasted it out there and it was in an unlikely spot and God raised up a soul to be saved. And man, may I tell you, there's some anticipation there. But we've got to this place where we don't even anticipate the harvest. Amen. I planted, and this year, and I know I've talked about it before, I definitely got my garden in much later than I normally do. I didn't even worry about planting potatoes this year. For one, they take up a lot of garden space. For two, it's kind of, I want them out at a certain time so I can get other things in. It's kind of my crop rotation area and trying to keep all of that going. And so I didn't even plant them this year. But I've got my tomatoes and my peppers, and I've got cucumbers in, and I've got things in the ground, and I've got three rows that are 50 foot apiece of okra coming up. And brother, it's kind of encouraging when you start to see them come up. Now, I know I'm going to have to thin them out because okra seeds are frustrating. They're not quite as frustrating as beets and radishes, but they're frustrating. And I always pre-soak them. I just get a better germination rate, and I get them to come up better when I pre-soak them. So I'll have them, while I'm getting everything around there in the garden, I've got them sitting in a little bowl of some water, and boy, they're getting... Now, you say, preacher, how do you know how many? I guess. Amen, and I know all of them in that bowl I'm going to use. It doesn't matter if I'm going to have to thin them out later. Amen, I'm going to give them an ample chance to come up. Amen. And you know, it's encouraging that first time that you see the ground kind of... You know what I'm talking about? Amen? I mean, there's life growing there. I planted a dead-looking seed with a little bit of water on it, and then all of a sudden, that soil starts to just come up a little bit. Now, I've got a long way before I ever see fruit off of it. A long way. And I can plant 150 feet worth of okra, and we could have some disaster tomorrow and I could get none of it. But it sure is encouraging. Amen. Just to be able to go out there and sow the seed and see life begin to form. You know how good it is that God gave it to the sower? Listen, we've really just taken it in the fact and said, well, you know, God's gave it to us and, well, we're going to hide it over here and we're going to treasure it. We don't really treasure it. You know, that seed is absolutely worthless sitting in my shed. Didn't do anything until I get it out there in the garden. And then I'm anticipating a harvest. And so I look here. I find the potential of it, but I also find the purity of it. And I think of God's design here is the protection of the purity. Hold your place in the book of Isaiah. Turn over to the book of Genesis chapter number 1. Let's look back at the beginning. How did God desire or design seed? How did this come to be? What is it and how does it work and why does He do it this way? But over in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, in verse number 11, I want you to see God's work. This is the third day He's created. We find in Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 11, and it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And so you say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, I look here at the protection of the purity of the seed. What's God's desire? Is for the fruit, or the herb, or the grass to produce a seed that's after its kind. Now, may I tell you who he gave the seed to? Us. You know, we're supposed to produce, and this is probably the problem. I remember hearing a testimony from Brother Harold Seitler. Dr. Harold Seitler was talking about out soul winning on a Saturday, as they always did. And he was out there with some of the college students, and they were going around, and this one drunkard came up to him, and he was still just as drunk, as crazy, and he comes up to him and says, Dr. Seitler, don't you remember me? He said, I'm one of your converts. And Dr. Seitler said, you probably are. That's probably why you're still like that. You know, we've got to be more Christ-like to produce the right seed in us. Hold on a second. I'm afraid that we're the only Bible that some people ever read. And I wonder why we produce this Christianity in America that's produced. We're in the shorts and flip-flop generation. Amen. I'm talking about shorts and flip-flop for church. Amen. I know of ushers at churches that go and you say, preacher, are you preaching against shorts and flip-flops? Absolutely. Amen. Men in flip-flops are just, that is crazy. Amen. I don't know if I got scripture for that. But I can tell you that it's amazing that we'll give our best for a job. We'll do what we're supposed to do for a job. But God, well, you know, it's dress down time. I can just be casual. It's funny to me, someone's got a job application, and boy, I'm going to go and interview for a job, and boy, I want to look my best. I'm going to get my hair cut, which, by the way, I noticed the preacher needs a haircut, and I'm going to get my hair cut, and I'm going to groom, and I'm going to do everything. Brother Richard, don't do it. Amen. I'm going to do everything that I'm supposed to do for the job. You know, we should have some purity about ourselves just because we're a child of God. And God protects that. God's design, right off the bat, is for the fruit tree. Oh, by the way, tree can't produce good fruit unless it's got good roots. Yeah. Amen? And so I look here and I find that this is God's desire. May I tell you that the seed can get compromised. Now, I always keep my seeds in a sealed container this year. And I don't know if it's... obviously, I got some bad seed. And I don't know how it all worked, but it was kind of odd. I opened up the container, which is nothing more than a large coffee can, and I had these moths fly out. I said, what in the world? I think it got into the corn seed, because I think it was compromised before I ever got the seed. And I had put it in that container. And normally it does fine, but this year when I opened it up, and I just had a little bit of corn seed left over from last year, and these moths flew out. But I noticed on the brown paper bag that the seed was in, there was all these little holes all over it. But you know, they didn't just stay in the corn. They had also ended up, and the little worms had went over to some of my other seeds and compromised my seeds. May I tell you, a seed as well, if I would take that okra seed and allow it to sit too long in that water, it would begin to sprout, and then it becomes very delicate, and it's very, very hard to plant. May I tell you, there's some time that the seed gets compromised within our life, that we've let worms and water come in that wasn't supposed to be there, and it's destroyed what God's given us. I look here at Psalm chapter number 12 in verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so I look at the protection of the purity, but I also think about the product of the purity. Does anyone want... You know what GMO is? Genetically modified? where they start to change. And I know you say, preacher, is that all hybrids? Not all hybrids are genetically modified. But they can get into the genetically modified and start changing properties of things. And may I remind you that the Word of God does not make genetically modified Christians. Amen? It's pure seed. It's back to, well, we'd call it heirloom. Amen? Because it's the old paths. And, but praise God. I remember in the book of Matthew, well, and in Mark and Luke, but Jesus was talking about one of his parables, and he was talking about the sower and went out, and he had sowed the seed, and then on the night, his enemy had came in, and he had sowed tares. And the tares and the wheat came up. Oh, may I tell us that so often in our lives, there needs to be the right product. Now, those tares looked just like the wheat when they sprouted up. But when the fruit showed, it wasn't the same. Listen to me. It would do us well today is to make sure that we have the right product because of the seed. Now, there is no such thing. If you're living by the Word of God, there's no such thing as compromise. Amen. Not live by the Word of God. I'm not saying that you can't have compromise in your life because it happens. But you'll never have it by living by the Word of God because there's no room for compromise. Amen. And so I look here and I find the problem for the seed. The problem for the seed. You say, preacher, there's a problem that God's... I mean, this is God's design. How's there a problem? Well, the problem for the seed is selective sowing. Amen. Now, I don't want to kill y'all with geek, but soil has to be a certain way for certain types of plants. You cannot grow every plant in every kind of soil. It just doesn't happen. Weeds, I think they grow everywhere. But, you know, they're just more diverse. But to grow and have a productive harvest, you have to have the right soil conditions for that plant. And there's many things that go into it. Organic matter so that it can produce and drain correctly. Just many things that take place so that you can do this. And you say, well, preacher, how do I know this? Well, we do the very same thing spiritually. We begin to judge. Remember I showed you that our ways are not God's ways? We begin to judge. And we begin to pick and choose what soil we want to plant the seed. Because that's really all the soil. In Matthew 13, Jesus is speaking about the parable of the sower and the seed. And we find the different types of soil. He mentions the wayside, which is that hard and compact. And boy, we look at someone and their outward shell. And we'd say they're a drunkard. They're in some motorcycle gang. They're tough. And boy, look at how they are. They got tattoos from their head to their toes. And boy, they're just, every word out of their mouth is profanity. May I tell you, they're lost. Amen. And we say, well, you know, I'm not going to sow it there. Or we begin to look at someone that's so busy, and boy, they've just got everything going on in their world. And we say, well, you know, they don't have time for the Lord. We make the decision for them. The problem for the seed is the seed will work wherever. But the problem for the seed is selective sowing. And we begin to say, well, you know, that's not a good place to grow. And so then we go to the one that's all cleaned up, all dressed up, all seems nice, seems approachable. Hey, young man, may I tell you about the Lord? And we want to talk to the one that seems to be so easy for us to talk to. But you know how the Word of God works? It will penetrate that one that's so hard and so calloused just as much as it will the one that's young and tender. Amen. And so the problem for the seed becomes us. Who did he give the seed to? The sower. And we think that because he's given it to us, that we can choose where we sow it. But why would we be called a sower? Well, because we're sowing. Hold on. It's just like servants. Amen. You ever been to a restaurant? Now, I know when I was growing up, it was okay to call them a waiter or a waitress. That wasn't offensive. But today I've heard that it's offensive for someone to be called a waiter or a waitress. Amen. And they want to be called servers. Okay. Makes sense to me. Amen. But I've had some times where you didn't get much service from the server. I don't think they're really a server at all. They're more of a sitter somewhere else than a server at my table. Amen? And, you know, it's amazing. You say, preacher, they were probably tied up. They were probably busy. Well, they weren't. They were serving someone. Maybe it was even self. Yeah. Amen. And yet God gave it to the sower. Well, why did He give it to the sower? Because we're sowing. Amen. And so we should be out there sowing, not worried about what's going on, not worried about where the seed's going to fall. We should be planting it everywhere. And so I find the problem for the seed is not just selective sowing. I find it to be stagnant sowing. So, preacher, what do you mean? In the book of Haggai, and I won't make you turn there, but in Haggai chapter number 2, verse number 19, the Bible tells us here, or He asks the question, is the seed yet in the barn? Is the seed yet in the barn? Now think about our seed storage. You know, I realize that we've had a year of COVID, and boy, you know, it's almost, you walk up to someone and you're just waiting for them to put up their cross finger. You know, get away from me, you got the plague, amen. And go ahead and cough. Have to sneeze. Whew, I'm telling you, it's awful. And you put on a mask over your nose and it tickles you. Amen. And we've gotten out of the habit and our seed stored up. Track board full, ready to go, and yet our seed's still in the barn. May I tell you how many people have died this last year? Not COVID-related, just death. Sin-related. And they never knew the seed because the sower was stagnant. And listen, I know we've had those times. Last year was a year of confusion. What do you do? Where do you go? Oh, you can't go up door to door. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't. May I tell you that while Satan's got us convinced that we need to just keep the seed in the barn, that's a safe place for it. We've been trying to get everything around so that when we come back to full and start having people coming in. And one of the things that we checked was the candy in the hospitality room. Amen. You say, preacher, why'd you do that? I wanted a piece of candy. Amen. But it was probably a year and a half old. It wasn't good. The suckers all tasted the same. They all tasted like the bubble gum. Amen. I got this little chewy, caramely thing. You know what it tasted like? Yeah, bubble gum. It was nasty. Say, preacher, what are you doing? You think that the seed's going to be fine when you store it. It's stored in the barn. It's in a safe place. I'm thankful that the gospel message never gets outdated. But the problem is we've got it in the barn. Not to where it can grow. Amen. And we have this stagnant sowing that's taken place in our seed storages. It's in a safe place, but it's not where it's supposed to be. And so I look at slothful sowing. That's where we're going to get around to it. We're going to get out there. Boy, we're going to reach and we're going to tell. But I'm reminded of Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. The Bible tells us that they that sow in tears reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his seeds with him. God knew what He was doing. He gave the seed to the sower. So that we can go out and sow, not for us, but so that we can bring our seeds with us. Amen. He gave it to us so that we could use it for Him. And I'm afraid that it's got the same potential that it's always had. But we're the problem, that it doesn't go. And so I ask us, you say, preacher, what do you really want of us today? I don't know. It's just a message that God gave me. How precious is the Word of God to you? Do you get excited in the fact that it can save souls? And yet we sit by and do nothing with it. Sometimes we don't even bring it with us anywhere. Say, preacher, I mean, I've got it all right here. Sure you do. Sure you do. What a valuable tool that God's given us, the only tool we ever need. You say, "Preacher, I need more Bible knowledge."